Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, is committed to bringing awareness. Every Tuesday, we have public discussions on issues of concern in and out of the criminal justice arena. We discuss and everyone has an opportunity to have their voices heard. Let me put everybody mute. Today, we are going to have on with us a former correctional officer, Mika Mike, speaking on injustices in the criminal justice arena and ways in which we can all work together for positive changes in the U.S. penal system. I want to also talk to everyone about the recent events that have been going on in politics. We have people that are now in power, and they are taking control of all of our rights throughout the country. And I want to say, these are big corporations. These are people that are wealthy, people in power, that are abusing their power. If they're taking away the rights of the U.S. citizens in the communities, in their homes, in the homes of others, wherever they may be, we are going to be just as though those who are incarcerated with all of their rights taken from them. We need to step up and we need to do something quick, because this is not another country of communism, although it seems that way. We're letting a handful of people in power control the way we live today, control our every move, control the rights of females, of women, control the rights of others. And we need to stop it. We came into this world without them, and we don't need them telling us how to live, how to control our bodies, or anything else today. We have people incarcerated who are wrongfully convicted, who are first-time offenders, who were victims before becoming offenders. All of these people are serving life and life without parole sentencing, many of them on death row. Many of them have been executed. It's pretty sad when we are living in a world, in a country that has so many flaws, and yet they go and try to tell other countries how to operate, how to do things. We're getting involved in the wars of other people when we have so much going on in our own country. Storming the Capitol, people dying, so many people going through so much. We need to stop it. We need to put a stop to it. This should not be happening. So we're going to be talking about this today, and we're going to be bringing up a lot of these issues. I initially had planned to have on with us Mika, who was a former correctional officer. This goes to show you sometimes what we deal with, because this is the second time that I have arranged to have somebody come on, and that individual is trying to come on at this time, and she will be on with us shortly. But in the meantime, we have a person wrongfully convicted calling in from Missouri, and his name is Reginald Clemens. He's going to be talking. Unfortunately, he just hung up. I guess he figured he wasn't being heard, but he will be calling back most likely. But these are the issues that we want to talk about. In the month of June, the entire month, from June 1st to June 30th, we are going to be making mass calls, letter writing, and emailing to the media. We're going to be making it to our legislative members, to the governors of every single state. This anybody going on, please mute yourself.
Hello?
Is this Mika?
Yes, just me. I couldn't get on through the ring.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes that does happen. But Mika, as I mentioned earlier, Mika is a former correctional officer. And Mika is on with us, and she's going to be talking about her experiences as a former correctional officer, as a correctional officer, and also the experiences that she went through, that she's seen and that she heard when she was working with the Department of Corrections. And Mika, if you can introduce yourself and also let the audience know what state you were in at the time or what you are in now.
Okay, yes, I'm Mika. I am a former correction officer. I used to be an officer for South Carolina Department of Corrections and Georgia Department of Corrections. And right now I'm in South Carolina.
Okay, and as you mentioned, you were a correctional officer at the time.
Hold
in what state?
Two. If you would like to permanently block your number from receiving.
Hello?
I'm sorry, that's the wrongfully convicted prisoner trying to call in from Missouri. But please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, I was a correction officer for South Carolina and for the Department of Correction for Georgia, for GDC as well.
Okay, and how long were you a correctional officer? And how did you happen to decide to go into working into the prison?
It wasn't long, but, you know, about for South Carolina Department of Corrections, it was about, I'm going to say 2 months, and then I ended up moving to Georgia and worked at GDC for another 2 months. So basically it was about like a total of 6 months total within both facilities.
And during that time that you were in the correctional facility, can you tell us a little bit about your experience as well? Being a former a correctional officer?
Yes, well, I mean, you had some good experiences, you had some bad experiences, but more of a bad experience because you witnessed a lot of things behind a wall that a lot of people don't see outside that's on the street. I experienced, you know, corrupt officers, I experienced corrupt wardens, also I experienced, you know, a lot of stabbings and killings and people committing suicide behind the wall.
You know, we have a major problem with that in this country, the suicides in the prisons and also the abuses that go on. This country has a high rate of suicides, and unfortunately, it's something that as many people are trying to do right now, they're trying to bring the Department of Mental Health into the prisons to get them involved. The Department of Mental Health thus far has not been willing to do that, and I think it's very wrong because when people are in the communities, they're not, and they're with the family members, everyone's trying to get help for them. The Department of Correction, even law enforcement, will say there's nothing that they can do unless the person does something to someone. And unfortunately, when that happens, Department of Mental Health does not want to get involved. And I believe they really should be getting involved. And I also believe American Psychological Association should also be speaking out. You don't hear anything about them, yet they're getting a lot of funding to do a lot of research, which we already know what the problems are, as we have an epidemic in this country. But that's one of the issues that we're dealing with in this country is mental health issues. And I don't believe that people need to be in prison. I think that they need to be in long-term residential treatment facilities. Now, we also have Dorothy Jean D'Agostino on the phone, on the line with us, on the show with us, and she is a co-host. And I believe her, are you on with us? 410?
Yes, that's good.
To refuse this pre-call, press 2. If you...
Okay, I'm going to see. I don't think that the individual understands that he's not able to come on this way.
To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press 2. If you would like to permanently block your number from receiving calls from this facility, press 6.
Yourself, please. Josie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, can you introduce yourself to the audience? Because Josie also has some experience in the legal aspect in a different form, but if you can introduce yourself, I'd appreciate it, please.
Sure. I'm Jocelyn Maminsky, and I am a 10-year retired police veteran in Maryland. And currently I am, actually this Friday, I'm getting married to Dorothy Jean's son, who is serving life without parole, and he's been wrongfully convicted.
Well, we have a lot of those wrongfully convicted.
I'm sorry?
Yes. Mika, can you repeat what you just said?
Who, me?
Yes, Mika.
Yes, I was saying that we're experiencing that right now. A lot of guys that's behind the wall that's wrongfully convicted. I have 3 gentlemen right now and a female that's being wrongfully convicted right now as we speak.
It's a major issue in this country. It is a major issue, and I'm going to, real quickly, I want to go over some of the things Dorothy Jean and I and others have been working on, and these are issues that we're going to be bringing up in the month of June. We're asking everyone, anyone and everyone who has a loved one inside or is an advocate or whatever the case may be, we want you to join us in the month of June. I'll tell you, we have 2.3 million people incarcerated. 2.3 million. And people are always complaining and talking about issues at hand that they're having to deal with their loved ones incarcerated. There's so many issues. And the things that we need to get out there to the media and to the governors in every state and to the legislative members, we need to let them know that we have a serious problem in this country. They may think that they're addressing it, but they're not. We are the only country in the world who has the problems that we have in this country. And we're going around telling other people how to live their lives, how to make their policies. We have mass incarceration, whereas no other prison in the United States, in any other country has. And so some of the issues we're going to be talking about in June, and we want people to make calls daily. We don't care if you make 3 calls a day, if you make 5 calls a day or 10 calls a day, but we need people to make at least 5 calls a day for the whole month of June, the whole month. And those days will bring a lot, we will have a lot of positive things happening if we do mass calls, letter writing. I'm just looking at some of the things that we're going to be discussing here. I'm trying to pull it together. I should have had it. But I want to read all the issues that we're going to be bringing up in that month. Let's see. Oh, God. Dorothy, you wouldn't have it on hand, would you?
Mass incarceration, mental illness, life without parole, life sentences,
no.
The death.
Right. This is what we're going to be, these are the issues we will be bringing up for the month of June. And I want everybody to hear this because this will tell you exactly what you want to say when you make these calls. The media reports one-sided stories. We have a major problem with the media in this country because they report stories. They don't get both sides. They only report one-sided stories. And no one can get justice if their voice is not heard. So in the month of June, June 23 event issues to be addressed is abolishing the death penalty. And this is why we have the scripts, because people may not know what to say, but they understand once they hear it. Murdering someone who has murdered as a means of punishment makes no sense at all. Giving mixed messages to children and adults in the communities, prisons, and elsewhere. Two wrongs don't make it right. In addition, the Constitution, as Dorothy Jean mentioned earlier, clearly states mentally ill prisoners should not even be put to death. Yet the government leaders have completely ignored that as well. Abolishing the death penalty needs to be done because it makes no sense. So many people who have been executed have later been found to be innocent. When you kill somebody, even if you have a uniform or a title, you're in power. When you kill somebody that has killed someone, you're not doing anything less than what they did, which would also warrant your death. So we need to do away with the death penalty. It should not be, and it doesn't even make sense. So we need to focus on that, ending life and life without parole. The United States is the only country in the world that has mass incarceration, and that's because of the very harsh and inhumane sentencing of life and death. We need to focus on this as well, because every other country, the maximum is 25 years, unless it's extreme, terrorism, serial killing, or mass murders. Other than that, every other country in the world is 25 years or less for any crime. And I'm hearing a background echo, and this is throwing me way off. So whoever's got background noise, can you please mute yourself? You know, these are the things that cause the show sometimes to go off track, because I'm not one that has, when it comes to business, when it comes to injustice, when it comes to abuses, when it comes to deprivations, violations, torment, tortures, whatever the case may be. We are talking about some serious issues, and we don't have time for all these interruptions. We don't have time for all these echoes. We don't have time for all the background disturbances. As they say, the life sentences are the same as the death penalty and should not be tolerated. So we need to look at that. If the corrections was established, Department of Corrections was established to rehabilitate the offenders and eventually release them. But yet people are going into prison physically healthier than they're coming out, if they come out at all. People are going into prison with some psychological issues maybe, but by the time they get through, they're coming out totally psychologically damaged. We have people that are being put in solitary confinement, not for just days, but for months, for years. Some for 30 years have been in solitary confinement. I saw on Facebook one time where they had an individual in solitary for 650-something days. And when he came out barking like a dog. This, in the United States of America, it doesn't even make sense. We have inhumane people overseeing and running these prisons. We have inhumane people judging in court. It doesn't even make sense when they give out sentences of 300 years or 1,800 years. Five maximum. What kind of sentencing is this? Death penalty. These are people that don't have a clue about what they're doing. They don't have a clue. No one lives to be 100 or 120 or 130 or 150 or 300 or 1,800 years of age. Not in this day and age.
Leona, I found the script.
Okay. Do you want to read it?
Sure. I have a, which do you want me to go on to?
Okay.
I have
we just
finished. The death penalty.
Right. We finished the death penalty. We finished life. What's after life?
In solitary confinement.
Okay. We finished that one.
Oversight in prison.
Oversight. Yes. Okay. Mika, I want to ask you if you will please talk a little bit about this now. What do you think of the prisons being run by the Department of Correction prison officials without any kind of, what are your thoughts?
We blocked your number from receiving calls from this facility. Press 6.
Oh, geez. Go ahead, Mika, if you can tell us what your concerns are about that or your feedback on that.
Well, about how the prisons are real, who's running the prisons?
Yeah, we were just talking about oversight of the penal system, of the Department of Corrections, prison officials.
Well, far as the prison runs, to me, honestly, in my own opinion, but I'm quite sure everybody else see that these prisons are mainly ran by the individuals that's incarcerated, because these higher authorities, I believe they're there just for a paycheck. Sometimes they these individuals go on hours and sometimes days without no officers. They're short-staffed. they're not even trying to do anything to even address the issue about them being short-staffed. I've seen plenty of people, you know, fill out applications to get jobs there. They still didn't call people back, even such as myself, trying to reapply, still haven't gotten a call back. But here y'all short-staffed, and the more as every day grow, you still got people getting killed and stabbed in these prisons, but there's no officers that's working. Some of these wardens is working with some of these individuals in there. They have their favorite picks and choose. It's just real crazy in these prisons.
I agree with you on that. I will agree with you on they pick and choose who they want to help or who they want to support or who they like and who they don't. I won't say the prisoners are running the prisons, though, because by the lack of staff, as you mentioned, they not having enough staff and the prison officials, just they have a paycheck. It's not that the prisoners are running the prisons. It's that the prisoners are being deprived of treatment. They're being deprived of proper food. They're being deprived of a lot of things that they could get if there was more training going on in the prisons with the staff and if there was more oversight. There were some legislative members in Massachusetts, fortunately, that have started going in prisons once or twice a year and following that European model of treatment. So they're going into the prisons. But at the same time, people need to go into the prisons that are in leadership roles, decision makers. They need to go in unannounced. They need to go in randomly so that the Department of Corrections officials do not know they're coming. Because what I've heard from so many prisoners across the country is that when they know that the media is coming in or government is coming in, they will clean up their act in the prison. They will have the place cleaned up. They will have proper food. They will have all these things that they don't normally have when they know no one's coming in.
They always rely on Department of Justice, but see, they don't realize, and we try to convince and tell these people that every time y'all have issues and complaints, y'all want to complain to the Department of Justice, but Department of Justice is not going to do anything. All they do is come in these facilities. Once they get the complaints, they'll give the facility higher authority, the wardens, all that. They give them a heads up that they're coming, and then they try to clean everything, sweep everything under the rug. But and all they do is give them a heads up of like, hey, listen, if y'all don't get this done and y'all don't fix this, y'all bound to get lawsuits and violations against y'all. So they basically give them a heads up. They working in cahoots with each other. Rather them don't give them a heads up and come, it's going to take an outside agency to just pop up on these facilities and see what's really going on.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's true. I've heard that from so many prisoners where they say that someone from the Department of Justice would go in to do an investigation and they would be off to the side talking to some of the guards or the prison officials and joking, making jokes and everything like that. So we're living in a country that's so dysfunctional and there's so many connections and there's so much injustice. You can't go to the Department of Justice for help if they're not going to be doing their job. And they need oversight as well. The person that's going into the prisons to oversee the prisons also needs to be having some oversight. People in law, and Josie can talk about this, but people in law and government and whatever it may be, a lot of times they meet with one another because they're all in positions where they feel that they're in leadership roles. They forget about the reason that they're in those roles, to help those individuals who are behind those prison walls who are in uniforms, whether it be the Department of Justice, the Department of Corrections, or anywhere else that are coming in doing nothing. They should be doing something. But 314, do you want to stay in, please?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Pardon?
This is Brother Anthony Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Anthony. Reginald Clemens mentioned that you would be calling in. I wanted to say, Anthony, I'd like to have you come back on another time to talk about the work that you do and other things. But right now, I'd like to have you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you were doing, because Reginald Clemens, again, wrongfully convicted individual, was telling us that you're a prisoner advocate.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for inviting me on your show, and I'm honored that you would invite us on. So I always start with As-Salaamu Alaikum, and it just means peace be unto you. And then I always start with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful.
I want to say something real quick before you go, Anthony. I just want to say one thing. I studied a lot of religions, and including the Muslim. I want to say Muhammad, a lot of people, you know, I was in a church one time, and there was a visiting pastor years ago, and he was talking about Allah and talking about the Muslim God. He was playing down the very God that we all worship, but it's just under a different name, because the Islam, Muslims will say Allah, and that means God, and that all comes from the Middle East. That's how it started. My mother was she wasn't a Muslim, but she and my aunt, when they spoke, they would always talk about Allah, which was our God. So I want to get these things straight. The reason I'm saying this is because a lot of people don't know, and they don't tend to study the religion the way they should. We're living in a country that is united. Well, it's not united, it's divided. But we're living in a country that has representatives from every country in the world. We're going to be seeing all kinds of cultures. We're going to be seeing all kinds of races, which, unfortunately, is not really accepted the way it should be in this country. We have people in other countries that admire, that used to once have so much respect for the United States of America because of the representatives from every country that were in this one particular continent. And people don't understand the cultures. Because they don't understand the culture, they judge or prejudge, and they hate without a cause. I just want to say all this. The reason I'm saying all this is because Muhammad was a young man that lost his own mother. He was a child that grew up without anybody. He ended up marrying a woman that was old enough to be his mother. He ended up marrying this woman. He was a person of trying to unite people. He was good. And a lot of people don't understand this. I just wanted to get this clear because there's so much
conflict. Let me jump in. let me jump in. You said so much, and you know, that's the good thing about your program. It's called Shedding Light, and that's
exactly
really what you just did. Because if they really understood Islam or Muslim, Islam just means peace, and Muslims is just a name to say you do what God tells you to do. You submit. So the shadow is a Muslim, the bird is a Muslim. Anybody who submits, they will. What they don't know about the Muslims or us, we love Jesus more than them. Because they don't study, and these people did a major attack on Islam, and they listen to the tell lie vision, not the television, but the tell lie vision. They always get something mixed up, and they do that purposely so they can keep us divided. I always give this example, my sister. 6 and 1 is 7, 5 and 2 is 7, 3 and 4 is 7, 7 and 0 is 7, 2 divided by 14 is 7. 3 divided by 21 is 7, and 7 divided by 49 is 7. Whichever way they look at it is 7. I'm blessed to be on your radio program talking about it, giving this information out, because most people don't understand that all of us, when we get through talking, Allah created us all, and all of us going to get a toe tag. But if they really understood, when we say we believe in all the prophets, we can't separate and say I believe in Adam, but I don't believe in Moses, peace be upon him, or I believe in Muhammad, peace be upon him, but I don't accept Jesus. We can't do that. We have to accept every prophet that Allah sent. And we look at Jesus as being one of the greatest prophets that Allah sent, peace be upon him. And in the Holy Quran, it's the only religious book that honors the name Mary or Maryam in our book. No other scriptures, whether you talk about the 73 books that's in the Roman Catholic books, or you talk about the King James book, which is in 66 books, none of them have a title or name or chapter name after Jesus' mother. So we honor the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. We just don't look at him as God, but we accept him as the greatest prophet. We believe in all the miracles that God blessed him to do. And I want to get on that, but I really want to talk about Reginald Clemens, this brother, and what he went through and what's happening with these death penalties and just how they deal with us as a person. I'm Brother Anthony Shaheed. And I'm the president of the Tahi Youth Group. I've been fighting for black people for the last 45, 50 years, and I've dedicated my life. I've been in the jails for Reddit 40 years, and I'm there on the jails at least once or twice a week. And what I see that's happening in these jails, it's really just a lot of these corporations just making money on. That's all it is. It's about money. You got more black men locked up in America and more black women locked up in America than the whole entire world. You got 192 nations. Now, out of 192 nations, you got more black men locked up in America and black women than the whole entire world. That tells you something right there. And it's all about them making money. Everything about them is making money.
Real quickly, I just want to say one of the things I was mentioning earlier today is you're right about the larger population being people of color. But one of the things that I mentioned earlier today is with all of these things going on in this country, especially now with the Republican Party taking control over the Senate, what we're seeing now is that they're taking away or they're trying to take away all rights. They're trying to take away the rights of the women to about their bodies. They're trying to take away the voting rights. They're trying to take away all the different rights of the United States citizens. So right now the problem is nationwide. And again, like I say, it's important to know about all the cultures and know about all these things because everybody is being affected now. And unfortunately, there is a serious issue with racism in this country, and it all started, it was in the background, it started to get much better, but then it was all brought to the surface again, I believe, by the former president when all that started. But we have to come together in unity as a people, and we have to, at least for the month of June, July, August, put aside all this, the racism, because we know that a lot of people, Caucasians, have been educated. A lot of people have learned and are now starting to unite with people of color. There's a lot of mixed marriages in this country. You know, there's a lot of good. A lot of times people focus on the blacks and the whites, when in fact now we have to accept the fact because it's true. There's a lot of whites involved now that are trying to do the same thing we're trying to do, find justice. Fight justice.
Can I jump in there with you? You said a whole lot of things, but where the problem come in, they don't have no problem getting people like me and you to agree what you just said. It's a no-brainer, okay? The problem is when you're trying to get some so-called Jews to say the same thing you're saying to deal with and treat the Palestinians right. Or it's a problem when you start telling the Ku Klux Klan or the group of Donald Trumps and them to treat black people the same and everybody going to be equal. Me and you can always agree with that, but I'm talking about people that's authority, who's in control, the power brokers. We're just spitting in the wind. We'd be better off going outside. I hate to say this, but it's true. The sun is shining while I'm here in St. Louis. You'd be better off going outside, blowing your breath at the sun, trying to blow it out because you're wasting your breath. You know and I know that them Jews and Donald Trump and that whole group there, the Republicans, you already know we're just talking. It's nothing for us to say we want to work with them. They're not going to work with us as long as because they don't understand scriptures. Right now, you're looking at the fall of America. White folks are $35 trillion in a hole. Crackheads and alcoholics don't mess with that kind of money. $35 trillion in a hole right now. You're looking at the fall of America. America can't stand because they sold women, babies, and children and broke up families. They got to pay for that. I'm not sure what you done did in life, and I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not going to ask you. And you don't know what I did in life, but whatever I did or you did, you got to pay. These people got to pay for what they're doing, and the problem is they're so arrogant, they forget scriptures, and that's what happened with Moses and his brother Aaron. They went to Pharaoh, these kind of Pharaohs, these people here, and went and said, let these people go, treat these people right. They couldn't do it, and that's why scripture shows you what has happened to people before that was disobedient. They wouldn't follow the commands of God. Me and you and what you saying, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If we was unified, we wouldn't even have this problem. And it shouldn't be for June. It should be, this is supposed to be a Christian nation, the United States of America. But they so far from a real Christian that will make your head swell. I'm bald-headed. I have to grow some hair on my head and cut it all back out for these white folks to do what's right. They're not going to do what's right. As long as they got some money and they can go into the prison system. Let me just finish this one part. As long as they can go into the prison system and make money, them people is not worried about what me and you talking about. When we get through talking, we just talking on this blog station here, but when they get through talking, the only thing they want to do is to make sure that they keep them jails full They spend more money. They're not worried about trying to send you to college or to send you to Webster or to send you to Harvard. None of them. They rather spend the same amount of money to keep you in prison instead of giving money to do what we need to do to get us out here, because there's a lot of brothers in them jails that are geniuses. Most of them got mental problems. They shouldn't even be in them jails. That shouldn't
exactly.
be where they are. But it's all about money. So jump back in there on me.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is we got to work on one issue at a time. And my
okay.
issue right now is mass incarceration. My issue is
yeah.
life and life without parole and death penalty. Reginald Clements
yes.
and also, I'll tell you another one, is Christopher Dunn. He's
right.
in Missouri. Two wrongfully convicted. Chris, you go on the internet, you type in Christopher Dunn, innocent. A judge found him innocent. A judge dismissed his case. What is he doing after all these years still in prison? They never let him out even when a judge dismissed his case. People can find it on the internet. Christopher Dunn, innocent. Judge dismissed it. But he is still incarcerated. What I'm saying is we have to address one issue at a time, and we have to bring together everybody that's willing to work on the same issues.
I agree. Look what happened to Raheem Teller. They executed this brother here. This brother here was innocent. They didn't wait to try to find out he was innocent, because it wasn't about them trying to find out if somebody was innocent or guilty. It was about this is what they wanted to do. And this is what they're doing with so many of them. They don't care what it is when it comes to them doing lethal injection, which they have no business using that kind of stuff to even murder people. That's all their mind is focused on. And because most of our people are not getting involved and paying attention to what's happening because it's not their brother or their sister. If it was their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, their auntie, they would do more to help about this master, this criminal system they got. Because the same people just talking about that somebody else is a criminal, they the main criminal. The mere fact that they doing something inhumane and how they treat people in Potosi, you got to see what they were doing in Potosi and how the brothers on death row, when they even have them in the jail, knowing they get ready to execute them, when they're on death row, when they're in Potosi or when they're in Bon Terre, but really in Potosi, they got them chained up every which way. They look like they got chains and handcuffs on their ears, on their hands, on their legs, around their waist. And when you go in there, you're in a glass booth, and they got to try to hold the phone while they're doing all this. They treat them like really some animals. Matter of fact, animal groups wouldn't allow somebody doing animals like this. But this is what they have done to us. This is what they're constantly doing to us. So I'm thankful that you have a platform that you're addressing some of these concerns that most of us really have a real concern about. And you got so many people with the innocent programs and other programs that for years that have been putting all their energy into trying to get people off of a death row. But these people are so vicious, we're losing more than we're saving.
You got that right. I want to say the truth. We need more innocence projects. That's the problem. But we don't. You talk about the Jews. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to tell me. First of all, we all know that Jacob stole the blessing from his brother twice. He, you know, Jacob grabbed onto his brother's heel. He came out first, and then he stole his blessing. But the thing is, we know what. I'll give you an example. Jews came into existence because the Italians years ago wanted to get the blacks on the people of color on drugs. That's how they were going to destroy them. But what happened is it expanded, and it became an issue with all races. And that's the same thing with the penal system. It might be that the focus is on people of color, but at the same time, it's expanding now to even a lot of the whites. Unfortunately, it's the poor whites and the poverty-stricken blacks. But the problems is the same. So what we need to do is address them one at a time. But 2.3 million people incarcerated in the United States of America. I interview, again, Mariam Jacobs from the Netherlands, who talks about the comparison between the prisons in their countries compared to mass incarceration in the United States. She's been on the show. She's going to be on next Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern time, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday. She's coming to the United States in August, and she wants to talk to some of the legislative members. She wants to talk to some of the, go to the universities. Mariam Jacobs has not only been in U.S. prisons, she not only volunteers for a prison in the Netherlands, she not only wrote a book about the concentration camps and how the prisons in the United States are comparable to the concentration camps, but she's been on the show talking about a lot of these injustices. We need to come together in unity. Whoever wants to come together in unity, whether it be black, brown, red, beige, white, we need to come together in unity to pull this thing off this year, 2023. There's going to be protests going on. There's going to be rallies going on because other groups are planning on these things to fight the injustice. And as a matter of fact, next Tuesday, I'm going to have Emily Shelton on, and she's going to be talking about her organization. They're going to be doing something in June, rallies, letter writing, phone calls, emails. This is what we're planning in June. Letter writing, emails, and mass calling around the country, everybody, writing letters, making phone calls, or emailing the government, the governors in every state, the media,
You're coming in, but it seems like you're going in and out. Okay, can you hear me, myself? I'm not sure what's happening.
Mika, you hear me? Mika?
Just above the
side. Dorothy? You were kind of breaking up a little bit.
You're going in and out.
Yeah, she's breaking up here.
I don't know what.
I want to say something that she's saying that's very powerful. We have to unite to do what we need to do, because anytime you got blacks and whites and Hispanics and other nationalities, just nationalities coming together, that's where your strength is. And what they've been able to do is to divide us like that. And if we were to come together and start talking about, and she's right, these places are worse. Some of these places are worse than concentration camps, especially up there in Bon Terre. I've seen what they did to Brother Reginald Clemens, a.k.a. Brother Kadir, and how they sprayed them while they were praying. But this is their religious rights, and they knew they were praying. And the mere fact that they did that, if we don't come and say anything about that, all of our religious rights will be violated if we stand back and let them be violated. You know, what we have to do, as you said, it's called unity. It's called uniting. And when we stand together like a solid brick wall, it's going to be hard for them to do anything. But if we don't do it, where, as you saying, every which way they turn, they see this everywhere on the Internet. And I'm going to tell you one way is get them. And you got to get this one for real. Listen to it. It's called their sponsors. All these places here have sponsors. And we have to start reaching out to their sponsors and then jam those letters up with those emails up, with those phone calls up to those sponsors, letting them know, you either with us or against us. You got 48 hours of those notes. You're with us or against us. You got to stop supporting them, because what they don't want is a problem there, and they don't want a problem with their stock market. And those are places we got to make sure we affect them at so we can hit them. But that's what you call their vital points. That's what you call in martial arts, if you know karate or any kind of martial arts, called their pressure points. Nobody can withstand hitting their sponsors, letting their sponsors know either you're with us or against us. Hit those emails, jam them emails up, and make sure that we show them, hey, what are y'all doing and how people are dying unnecessarily, because you won't even give them a second chance. You didn't even give Brother Raheem Teller. You didn't even wait to see was he innocent. His brother was in California. He wasn't even here. He was in California, and they just act like they didn't see the information and just ignore it. Like you said, the brother, they're trying to let out. The judge had already straightened everything out, but they said, we don't care nothing about what the judge say. We said we're not going to release him. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I hear you very well now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm thankful that y'all have something that's powerful. This is very powerful, a very powerful subject that you're speaking on. This is not a little lightweight subject here, because you'd be surprised if those many black men and black women and people of color, period, are locked up. That means their family members are involved. If we can get one or two family members for each one that we're talking about to write a letter or send emails or to reach out to some of those sponsors that's behind the prison ministry and these corporations, I promise you, you affect them then, because they don't want to. This is how you affect their stock market. They don't want nothing to deal with to affect their money. That's what this is all about, for money. They don't care nothing about people. They care about money. And that's why they can do it. And most of these big major corporations, this is what they funded. This is what they're behind, because there's a lot of money and keeps people locked up. And then what happens with every 10 years, you lose 6% of your population. when you have people incarcerated. See, so they know what they're doing. And now you got just as many women being locked up than men. And most of these people have mental problems. They shouldn't even be in them jails. They absolutely shouldn't be in jail. And like you said, who bringing the drugs in here? If somebody has some drugs in your house, my house, or anybody that's listening to me house, and they come and find them drugs out, you say you don't know how the drugs got in the house, they say, well, you come on downtown and let's talk until we can find out how drugs get in America. We don't own no boats, no trains, no planes. We don't own none of that stuff. How the drugs get in it? They bring it in here. We know how it's getting in here. They bring it in here. The United States government is bringing it in here. And they bring it right to
the government officials.
I'm sorry?
Yep, the government is, I said, you're right. The government officials is bringing in, having these transactions, bringing in the drugs on the ship. And I try to convince everybody and tell everybody, we got to hit them where it's going to hurt. It's their pockets, because they're making the money off of. And if you keep giving your money to these corporations, that's what these prison systems, they stop giving their money to them, you're going to see, you got to hit them where it hurt, which is their pockets.
Well, that's what Dr. King really talked about. So Dr. King, his last year, he starts talking about hitting them and make sure they feel the pain. You know, when you start boycotting the Coca-Cola he talked about, and you start boycotting all these different companies, he talked about that. He talked about that on the regular basis. He always kept telling them about what they were doing and how they were doing it, you know, and that these people here, they're in violation. That's really what they are. Because the mere fact that these companies can keep on operating and keep on doing what they're doing to black folks is an atrocity. It really is. And making money on us, making money on the prison system, on the phone calls, you name it, whichever way you look at it, they got these pads and that is going out of style. It's by everywhere you go in these jails now, I know they're working on their pads. They're making money on everything that you want. They're making money on bread. They're making money on the uniform. They're making money on the tennis shoes. They're making money on the TV that are just like plastic that you see through. Whatever you're talking about, these white folks are making money in the Jews.
No, you know how they're making money? They're making money on the girlfriends, the wives, and all of these people that are sending money to them. I know a lot of prisoners that have been living indigently because they say as long as people keep sending money into their loved ones, the Department of Corrections around the country is going to be pocketing the funding they're getting and letting the family members and friends do it all. And that's exactly what's happening. People are so quick to send their loved ones.
Look how much they charge. And look at how much they charge an extra on that. Look how much they charge.
But, you know, like I say, my brother, I'm going to tell you right now, the focus has to get off the racial issues in order for us all to come together. And like you said, mass mail, bombard the media, because the media reports one-sided stories. They go with the ones that are going to be treating them better. And that's what we're living in a society today. Even our own Black Lives Matter National Action Network, NAACP, what are they doing? I'm sorry to say it, but they're not doing anything. And yet everybody, because of color, is going to look at the NAACP, National Action Network, and all that. They're going to look at them as what, the savior? What are they doing for their own?
I don't know how they're doing in your head, but this NAACP here in St. Louis, this one guy, the St. Louis County is very strong and powerful, but this one guy in St. Louis, his name is Adolphus Pruitt. He ain't none but what they call a modern-day whore.
That's what
I'm
saying.
All he want to do is get some money. I'm telling you, this guy here, all as long as he gets some payoff, and he can come down and get a contract and somebody kick him back, he's good. He is a modern-day whore, you know.
And that's
just,
why
you know,
we need
they're the ones supposed to be speaking up. They should be speaking up for us, because most people that's white, they think when they go to the NAACP that they're good. I don't know. In some of these chapters, I'm quite sure you got some good strong ones. I can't talk about all the chapters, but what I can talk about is St. Louis City. Not St. Louis County. St. Louis County is very powerful, right? But the St. Louis City, when I tell you this, Adolphus Pruitt, and remember that name, he's what they call a whore. He's not a new one. And you'd be surprised how they don't do nothing but work with these people to keep on, as long as they get a chicken dinner and they can get some sponsored money and they can get a table that they charge and $5,000 to send 10 people there, then they're in good shape.
But I'm just telling you, it's a shame, disgrace. But this prison system that you're talking about is one of the most powerful conversations that you can have, sisters. I promise you.
I had the founder from California, the founder of Black Lives Matter prison chapter in California. He started it. He agreed that not all Black Lives Matter are doing anything, but he himself started it. And he was getting a lot of flack on the show from a woman from New York who was trying to get help from her son, and she was talking about Black Lives Matter completely. He said, I understand what you're saying. He said, but I started this out in California on my own. So that's why we can talk about all kinds of races. There's going to be good and bad in every race. But the ones that are good, we need to come together. We need to unite and do what we can as a team.
I agree 1,000,000,000%. That's the only way it's going to happen. But I want to say this again. If we would focus on, it's called pressure points in martial arts. I said it earlier, and I want you to listen to this good. Find out any sponsors that's behind any of them corporations. And what you do, I'm just making some up. If it's called Quick Trip, if it's called Coca-Cola, if it's called a Volkswagen, what you do, we reach out to them and tell them what we're doing. We got a problem with these people are doing. And we want to inform you. We hear that you're their sponsors, that you're supporting them. We want you to back up off of them until we can get this straight, because it's mostly people of color, and we look at this as a racist act. You're either with us or against us. It's just that simple. When they say they're with us, or we'll hold back for a minute, y'all get it straight out because we don't want to cause a problem with our name, then we cut them some slack. But when they don't, we take those emails and we jam their lines up, we jam their phone calls up, and every which way they turn, people, because nobody wants bad public relations. That's what they don't want, especially when you're telling the truth. And when you show them, and you can show them what these people are doing and how everything is against what we're doing as a people, then you don't even have that problem.
You know, you're exactly right. And I'll tell you, this is the way to do it. And also, you know, we shouldn't even be buying for the month of June. We shouldn't even be buying from Starbucks, from McDonald's, from Walmart, from all these corporations and Fidelity Investment. We shouldn't purchase from them. They all have investments in the penal system. They all have investments. They got people making sneakers for them for 90-something cents a day, and they're selling those sneakers for 100-something a piece. These are the ones that we have to bombard as well, but not with purchases, not with money, but with letters, emails, and telephone calls. Unless they're willing to do something positive to make it better behind the prison walls, that's what we need to do. Come June, I'm hoping that you will help us, that you'll get people to make these phone calls, do these emails, do these letter writing. If we do it,
what I want us to do is, if we're talking about anything dealing with this prison system, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to help you. Anything that Brother Reginald Clemens is a part of, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to help you. Where's the part?
You know what, won't know what to do. We will definitely get the media's attention when they start getting bombarded. It will be all over the news, just like that incident with the state, with the legislative members, the Democrats that were expelled. It became not only national, but pretty much global now. So these are the things. If we have 2.3 million people behind those prison walls, we should at least have 2 million people making these calls. Bombard the media, bombard the legislative members and the governors, and get them to do something.
Well, like you said, it's really relatively easy how. If you got over 1 million people in jail, let's just say 1 million, each of them got a family member. When I was over 1 million people, if each of them had one person, don't even say two, but if we clown and have five, and every day we hitting a sponsor, you don't see, it's like you said, don't be all over the place. Be real like a SWAT team. The SWAT team, when they come, all the other police departments be all over, but that SWAT team is real precise and focused on what they're dealing with. And what we do, we say, I'm just making some up, I'm just throwing some name out, because I have to throw Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola, really, most people don't know how Coca-Cola started. I don't care what Coca-Cola is doing now, I'm talking about how they started. They started making sure that they didn't deal with black people. I got a lot of paperwork showing Coca-Cola said Coca-Cola was 6 cents for whites only, and how most of them sponsored most of the hangings and murders of black people. But just say, since we use that person for a week, and we say we're going to use all our emails, because we want to show y'all with one person first to show you how it's going to go. All the emails, all the phone calls and all the social media that we have, just doing nothing but hitting that. All the phone calls, and we don't just hit the switchboard, we hit the departments, the public relations department. You hit the human resource department. You hit the switchboard. You hit four or five departments, and you tie those lines up. You have those emails coming in, and then you let them know and tell y'all back up off of that. And say, for instance, when we call them, we tell them to do it, and they don't do it, and take them a week or two to say, okay, but you got our attention. Take 2 more weeks after everything's straight because you didn't do what we told you immediately when we told you. All this kind of stuff is very important. This is what I specialize in. I specialize in. So I'm willing to work with y'all on anything that y'all are doing. I'm thankful that y'all invited me on your show. I'm really thankful that you invited me on your show, you know.
Those things you just mentioned, those things, if you can put them on paper, the people to contact, if you can email me that information, we'll include that and everything else. We're doing research right now for all the states to get the media and the...
If you have my direct number, what I'll do is I'll put my team on there, and I would just like to take one or two of them. I'd like to really get a history of Coca-Cola. And we'll take some of the ones we know that's racist. We'll take a Starbucks. We could take somebody, say, you want to take somebody with some big attention. We get a Starbucks.
Exactly.
We close a Starbucks down, and you take Coca-Cola. You got to do Coca-Cola because nobody really knows the history of Coca-Cola and how they supported Jim Crow on a level like nobody did. We take one or two companies. You don't take 15 or 20 companies. Because if you take all the manpower, if we had a fourth of that and 250,000 people was on, I'm going to say, 250,000 people that you had, if you had 200,000 people, and that's just a quarter of the people that's in jail, that one day we hit them with an email, and I'm going to tell you the last thing. Tell me when you're ready for this. This is what I do on a regular basis. Tell me when you're ready. I want to say, Brother Shahid, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Y'all ain't good. Okay. You sit and put the reviews in. Can you imagine any company getting 250,000 reviews because them don't leave? I play dirty. When I'm getting to get you, I don't play with you because now I want to let you know that I gave you a chance to get it together, but you wouldn't listen to me. If you put 100,000 reviews, if you put 10,000 reviews in one day to any place, along with jamming up some emails, you could take total attention. Most of y'all ain't never heard this kind of stuff. This is how Brother Shahid get down. When you don't listen to me and you clowning black folks, that's how I handle you. Them reviews ain't nothing to play with because most people go and look at their reviews before they do anything. That's what they do. And when they look at them reviews and see that there, I promise you, you got their total attention. You don't got their attention. You got their total attention.
This is good. This is just what... That's exactly what we need.
I want to hear you say you love that. I ask you how you like that. I'm talking about hit them reviews. Them reviews ain't nothing to play with, I tell you. Them ain't nothing to play with. Nothing at all.
You know, that's true. That will really hurt them, too, to have bad reviews. And I never thought about that.
Those reviews are there for now. So when you're dealing with any company, I gave you what to deal with, and I'll help you, but you don't need no lot of help. I don't care if it's 50. They did some things here in St. Louis called Dr. Cone on one of the TV stations and said that they wasn't going to fire this white boy who did it, Kevin Kahnstoff. I told him, I said, y'all going to get rid of this white boy. And they told me they wouldn't. In January, what I did, January 19th is when Dr. King's birthday was, what I did for them, I took them and I sit and took a company called Walter Knowles. He's a flower company. I took somewhere. I put 10,000 calls into them, and I ordered probably about 20,000 worth of roses from different people around the community. And then we counted it all. And I told them, I said, I'm gonna take the first company and show y'all how we're gonna do it. Y'all next on the list. So any of the biggest companies that we want to put, all we gotta do is put them. We don't gotta play with them. Any company that you're having problems with, that's dealing with the prison, that's putting black people where they're supposed to be at or don't supposed to be at, all we got to do is do what I just said, and you ain't going to have no more problem, and I'm going to help you. I'll spearhead it.
Let's do it.
So once you do me a favor, you call me when we get off the radio. Brother Chinese got to get ready to go off right now. But if you would call me after we get off the radio station, and give me all your information. We'll go from there. And I want to thank you for inviting me on your show. I appreciate it very much, and I loved it, and
Anthony,
I appreciate you. Yes, ma'am.
We're going to have you on and Reginald on another time. We'll set it up, and then you can come back on. And Mika, you too. We really need to start moving on this because that I never thought about that. Hitting the reviews is something that would really make a difference. But again, like we say, with 2.3 million people in prison, with their relatives, their friends, their advocates, everybody that wants to see justice, everybody that wants to see changes in the U.S. prison system, this is the time for us to do it.
Well, you got me directly, so you're going to send me all your information. Why don't y'all call me, and we'll go from there afterwards. Even if it's later on this evening or tomorrow or whenever, just call me.
Okay, thank you. Definitely. If not, well, probably after the show. What state are you from?
I'm from Missouri. It's called St. Louis. St. Louis is a sad Louis. This is a sad place where it's the last place they freed the slaves, Missouri.
Do you know Madeline Colburn? Well, Madeline Colburn, she's gone back to her maiden name. Now I forgot what it was. I've known Madeline for so many years under Colburn. But she's not only a prison chaplain, but she's a strong advocate for the incarcerated. She has been. We go back way, 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 way back because I've been advocating for the incarcerated for 20-something years now. So,
I appreciate you said it right. Any of the whites or any of the Chicanos or anybody that's fighting with us to help fight for what has happened to us, we should be supporting each other. So I'm willing to support anybody. I'm willing to work with anybody who's fighting for the liberation to help free innocent people. It's a no-brainer. These people are innocent.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people in prison, like I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show. There's a lot of people in prison that were victims before becoming offenders. A lot
that's
of
right,
them were victims.
Right.
They say, what about the victims? They think the prison walls, you have 2.3 million people, men, women, and youth, prisons and jails throughout the United States of America when we are the only country in the world with mass incarceration. I've interviewed people from Germany, from the Netherlands, and they've all talked about, they laugh at this country. This is how dysfunctional this country is because it's all about hatred. It's all about vengeance. It's all about power. It's all about greed. It's about racism. It's about money. That's what's doing it.
Well, they're locking up racial profiling. They can come and just do what they want to, and they can shoot a black man, especially. They shoot other people, but we got to keep it real. They shooting black folks and can have a comb in their hand and say, we didn't know it was a comb. We feared for our life, and that split-second decision, we blew them away. And then they can tell you that, paint you as a criminal because you done did something wrong because they done made sure that what has happened, you never was in the unions because they racist. You never got a chance to get on one of these corporation jobs because they want to try to make sure you go to prison and not try to hire you. So whichever way you go, it's just a domino effect, and they can blame everything on you because you have problems with the law. Well, hell, the criminal telling somebody they got a problem with us and they a criminal. How the hell a criminal going to turn around and blame you for what done happened?
Mm-mm.
These people something.
It's like you mentioned with the drugs. They blame it on families and friends. But 3 years we've had the coronavirus. 3 years people were not allowed to go into the prison. 3 years drugs were still getting in the prisons. Tell me how that can happen. If the families
well,
and the friends...
It's easy to figure out how it can happen. They bring it in. Not just the prison, but you're right. But not just the prison in America, period. How's it getting in there when they got Coast Guards, they got Marines, they got Navy, they got a satellite out there in space. They see every other damn thing. They got cameras on every corner damn in America, wherever it is, and on the coastlines. How do we get – they bring it. It's a no-brainer how it gets in there. They bring it here, and they bring it straight to the black community because that's how you destroy people is that you sit and flirt with them with the drugs. And once a person gets hooked on drugs, he's really a dead man, a dead woman. He might be alive physically, but he's really dead.
I'm talking about
really
the prison.
Dead.
I'm talking about the drugs getting into the prisons. And unfortunately, that's involving all races that are still involved with the drugs.
Once they get in America, then they can get them into the prisons, the black community. They can get them into your house. They can get them wherever they want to. The problem is to stop it before getting here. See, don't give me a ticket because I'm walking around and you see me with some drugs, or you see me, let me say, you see me with some liquor. But you tell me I'm drunk and driving, you're going to give me a ticket because I'm driving and drunk. But you're not going to go to find the man who sold it to me and the man who made it and the man who brings it in here. And you're blaming the innocent. You're blaming the person who's least got an involvement in this thing. You get me hooked because I got all kind of mental problems, and I start getting on drugs, and I reach out to that. Next thing you know, I lost my family, or I got to go out here and do some crazy stuff, and next thing you know, I wind up being in jail when really all I needed was an opportunity to have me a trade, to paint, to do some electrical work, to do some carpentry work, to do some pipe fitting work where I can make a decent wage to be able to take care of my family. Then when I get to working for a contractor, I can go on the side and do a bathroom for you, do a bathroom for Reginald Clemens, to do a kitchen for this person, to put a floor down here. I can go make me another hustle. And you can't take that out of my mind with a trade. But they don't want to do that. They would rather spend more money to send you to jail than the money to send you to Yale.
The Department of Corrections, they don't even have the proper training. I mean, the proper educational. They don't have the proper training or anything. Now, you mentioned even people that go into prison. This is a sad thing. A lot of people that end up in prison never realize how gifted they were until they get into prison,
yeah.
And then they get out coming out singing, poetry writing, writing books. Dorothy Jean was talking about her son. He's into art. He does excellent work. She was telling me about a painting, a drawing that he just did, 1500. So when we think about it, when we think about the gifts that people have, if given the opportunity to use those gifts in prison and use that as its, use that their gifts as some of the things, the productive things that they have done in the prisons when they go up for parole. But we also have to look at the parole reform. We need to have the parole board reformed, because if they can pick people out of the communities to sit in on the jury duty, they should be able to do the same thing with people in the parole board instead of having the very people that push for incarceration sitting on a parole board, talking about somebody not being remorseful. How do they know somebody is not being remorseful? First of all, they're not psychologists or psychiatrists. Secondly, men were taught from childhood not to cry. So if somebody's feeling remorse, you're not going to see it, especially in a man, because most men try to be strong. So what they need to do is they need to pick out people from the communities to sit the parole board and get rid of these people that are already on the parole board. Bring in psychologists, bring in psychiatrists, bring in substance abuse counselors, bring in social workers, get rid of these people on the parole board and give these people in prison a chance.
Most of these brothers and sisters will come out of jail if they just dealt with the mental piece. I keep on talking about that mental piece. That's a piece damn near bigger than all of it. Most of our people have mental issues. They have no business in them jail, I promise you. And I'm not going to debate with nobody. If I know, I've been in the jail for every bit of over 40 years, and I'm telling you, most of those people should not be even in jail. But conditions, and because of the monetary, because they don't have a good lawyer, and they send them some damn public defenders who don't even have enough time to. Some of them are some good public defenders, to be honest, but they don't have a time to get to you because their caseload is so doggone full, they can't even get to you to do what they need to do. And then by the time they talk to you, they didn't talk to four or five people before you go into jail. I done seen people not talk to their public defender except for one time they come in and speak to them, and the time they see them at court, and all together they ain't met with them a half an hour, and them people going to take a plea because they don't have proper representation. If they had money, most of them wouldn't be in jail, and if they found out how most of these people got mental issues, they would not be in jail. They need to be in some type of mental institution. They used to have a place here called Malcolm Bliss. And it was really known here in the St. Louis area. But most of our people, they got some places still now, but they need a person who really understands the working of a mind when a person is bipolar, when a person is schizophrenia, when a person, because really that's what all these white folks are for the most part. The majority of them, that's what they are. And you got most of them people that's in charge, like you said, over the boards and all that there, the review boards to let them people out of jail. They're the main people that need somebody to come in there and teach them about some type of way to be more human and not be so insensitive, because they remind me of some kind of machine. Like, they don't care about nobody. They come in front of those review boards, and most of those brothers, damn it. I know brothers that's been in jail for over 40 years. Reginald Clemens been in there 31 years, and 27 years, 24 years, they say don't even count.
Mm-hmm.
24 years of the 31 years right now, they done literally told him don't. It's like he never was there.
We got ignorant legislative. We got ignorant policymakers. We really do. But you know what I was going to say? Here's another thing. These contracted providers, medical and psychological providers with the DOC around the country, WellPath is the worst. You hear about WellPath permanently damaging prisons around the country. They're in 36 states. But let me tell you what happened. A psychologist evaluated a prisoner and said, And now they diagnose most prisoners with antisocial behavior, because this way they make the prisoner look worse than they are, rather than in diagnosing them with PTSD.
You're breaking up with me. She's breaking. My phone is breaking up with her. I'm hearing every other word.
Okay. They diagnose with social behavior. In fact, most prisoners either have bipolar, or they have schizophrenia, or they have PTSD, and they don't diagnose them with it. But you know that they diagnose them with antisocial behavior because it makes them look worse. Now, there was a psychologist, that evaluated a prisoner. In the evaluation, it said that the prisoner's mother and father were alive and well. The mother and father were never together. The father was never in the picture. And the father, according to the internet, had died in 2011. This evaluation was done about 3 years ago. They put down their own assumptions. They don't get the facts. Just like the media does the one-sided reporting, they don't get both sides, which causes more confusion, more dysfunction. But if you're going to evaluate somebody, you're going to know the mother and father were together. The father was never involved with the son. And the father has since died, and you're putting down the father and mother are together and well and alive. This is what they have, the contracted providers. Now, I have a petition on change.org. The petition is to replace prisons with long-term residential facilities, because long-term residential facilities is what's needed for these mentally ill, or even if they weren't mentally ill years ago, a mental illness caused them to do something they didn't want to do or ended up
correct.
In prison for.
Correct.
Addiction.
That's right. Correct.
A lot of people get addicted because they're on drugs to try to cover up traumas that happened to their children, or because doctors have over-medicated them and got them hooked on medication.
You're 100% right on everything that you just said. They got them on so much them drugs, and they used to do that with a lot of them just in them schools. That, you know, when they was too antsy and too moving about, and because they didn't know how to handle, they started shooting them with the Thorazine or some of them other types of serious
put on
drugs.
Ritalin. They used to put them on Ritalin. ADHD, hyperactivity. They used to put them on Ritalin for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And ADD, they would put them on Ritalin and all this kind of medication. For people with seizures, they would give them all, phenobarbital. They'd get them hooked on that. They used to have so many medications that they just pushed on these people that they claimed were that sick that needed all this, and these people get hooked on it.
Even prescriptions. I don't care what you do. When you start dealing with prescription drugs for a minute, and for a minute you were taking it because of the pain, but after a while, I've seen so many people getting hooked on that the prescription drugs is sickening, and that's the truth. You know, they hooked on it. So I really love this program. I can tell you right now, y'all got me very, very, very excited. I'm really happy. I'm thankful that y'all would invite us on, you know, and the mere fact that you're hitting these issues, because a lot of people run away from these issues. They don't want to talk about this here.
Well, you know,
people
can try to run from certain issues, but when these issues are out there big time, we have to address them. But in the case with the penal system, we have to put everything aside to work on this one particular major issue in June and July. When they do the July event, it's going to be on the torches in the prison. But we need to come together to, and I'm glad you mentioned that, the reviews. If we give bad reviews for all of these corporations, that's going to make, that's going to help them wake up a little bit.
Well, it's going to make them do more and wake up, because one thing about white folks don't want nothing.
You broke off. I want to say too, Chinooka Guhamani, he's from the Lakota. He's out of South Dakota. Chinooka used to come on the show, and then I let him take Fridays to do his own show. He's got his, I don't know if he's doing a show now, but Chinooka Guhamani, the same thing. He wanted to bring everybody together, all the black, brown, red, and beige together to fight the injustices. But one of the things that Chinooka kept focusing on is the white people. Now, what we need to do is focus on a certain percentage of whites that are out there doing all this. But we have to remember there's a lot of good ones out there trying to work with us against these injustices.
No, I agree with a lot of good white ones out there, but the good, the bad, it's like police. There's a lot of good police, but the good ones got to tell on the bad ones. And what I'm saying here is a whole lot of whites that want to help us. But I'm talking about a system. A white power system, a white male-dominated society, just like a tsunami on what's happening, is what I'm saying to you.
Well, you know what? I just realized it took me years, but I always had a feeling it was. But what really came to light was the White House. There was a reason for it being called the White House, and the White House is full of the Klan. It's always been talked about, and it's now coming to light. We're seeing exactly what the Klan is all about, because they got power over a lot of. This power being in the Senate, they're showing their true colors.
Y'all hitting the grand slam. Y'all not hitting a home run. Y'all talking about a grand slam now. You hitting, you know what you're talking about, I can tell you that.
That's what I'm talking about. These two young Democrats, they were trying to do something very positive. They were trying to stop this gun violence, and they're going to get expelled. Why? Just like that lady said, because of the color. She was white and they were black, and that's why they didn't do the same to her. She admitted herself. And that's why I say there's some good ones out there, good whites, that are working together with us. And the White House holds a majority of the Klan. And we're seeing it right now because it's coming to its surface. You know why? Because there's going to be a world war. We see it. Because Biden's so busy getting involved in Ukraine and Russia. Now all these countries are coming together. That major, major role to have a world war. And what did it say after the flood? You mentioned Noah. I mean, Moses, I'm going to mention Noah. He was told the next time would not be by flood, but by fire. We've got the global warming, and we've got the nuclear weapons. We're going to have a world war. That's why I say this is the time for all of us to come together and at least try to get some justice in the prison system. Try to get these people the help they need, and let the world come to its end. Because I say it all the time. I ask God. You call him Allah. I call him God. I call him Jehovah Jireh. I call him anything because he's got so many names. But I ask him to come quickly to end this system of things. We're living in a world of disaster. But this is Babylon right here. This country we're living in is Babylon.
You ain't got no arguments for me. If you're trying to get an argument, and this country is worse than Babylon.
It's caused too much bloodshed. It's caused too much bloodshed. And we have to come together if we're going to see any justice. And anybody that wants to join us in bringing this to bringing this out there, let them join us. I welcome them.
Well, I welcome them too. I welcome anything and anybody that's doing this positive and looking out for less fortunate people or people who've been treated inhumane. One thing about these people, this white society here, when it comes to animals, they got all kind of animal rights and everything else. When it comes to people, they care more about animals. And I'm not saying you shouldn't care about no animals, but I'm just keeping it real. They care more about a dog than they do black people or people of color.
I believe
that's the truth.
I believe it. But you know what? God knows. And you talked about, I'm going to tell you what happened with me with a Jewish man, a lawyer. He went to visit somebody, first time visit, but it charged $4,500 for that one visit. He brought a young Hispanic lawyer, he claimed was a lawyer, to take notes. And his name was Norman Zellkind from Massachusetts, right from Boston. Norman Zellkind. You see where I'm coming from. And that man charged $4,500 for that one visit. And I contacted...
$4,500?
Yes, and I contacted the Bar Association in Boston. And you know what? That man got away with it. Elizabeth Kelly, $12,000 to go with him. She came from Washington State. These two scams, these two people, lowlifes I call them, Elizabeth Kelly had it on her website that she was practicing or she had offices in Washington State and New York. I filed a complaint against her. And New York said that she wasn't licensed to practice there. Washington State said she wasn't licensed to practice there. Jean Gore from the National Shattering Silencing Coalition had me check out Ohio. She was licensed to practice in Ohio, but she wasn't living. She wasn't a resident. So both of them got away with it, $12,000 and $4,500, $16,000 to meet with the prisoner one time. And they used all the other expenses that they charged by emails going back and forth between them. So that's the kind of country we're living in. People find a way. They find a way.
Well, they're going to find a way to do what they want to do. Anything ain't right, they're going to do it.
So I know what you're talking about. I really do. But like I said, we got to focus on the issue at hand, and we have to join forces with anyone and everyone in this country that's willing to join with us to get these things, this justice that all of our loved ones behind the prison walls deserve. You remember that case in Florida with Daryl Rainey? Did you hear about mentally ill man?
I believe I do.
Now, that is the most inhumane thing I've ever heard of, but it happened. And I heard that the family never even got an apology from the Department of Corrections from anybody that did what they did to that man. Mentally ill, scalded him alive.
Now, that's scalded. Now, that's deep. Yeah, that's
me. Anyway, yeah, before June, I'm going to be asking Franz Kurz from Germany, Miriam Jacobs from the Netherlands, and Jan Banning, who have been advocating for the incarcerated in the United States, two wrongfully convicted in Ohio, two males, one wrongfully convicted female in Georgia. And so I'm going to be inviting them to come on the show before June, so they can talk about the comparison between their countries and our country with our mass incarceration compared to their 25-year max sentencing. We'll be talking about it. And as I said, Miriam Jacobs will be coming to the United States in August. She's going to be here, I believe, for 1 or 2 weeks. So I'm going to hopefully be able to get her to meet with some of the legislative members in Massachusetts and talk to them as well as some of the universities. We'll see what happens. But anyway, Mika, if you will, once again, give the audience your information. Anthony, if you can do the same thing. Dorothy, if you want to, just let them know how they can get in touch with you or what they can do to help.
They can catch me. They can get me at Brother Anthony Shaheed. Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Anthony Shaheed. My last name is spelled S-H-A. HID, and I'll give them an email for me. Well, let me just give them an address, 5010 San Francisco, 5010 San Francisco, St. Louis, Missouri, 63115. St. Louis, Missouri, 63115. The address is 5010 San Francisco, and put it in attention to Brother Anthony Shaheed. That's the best way to catch me.
Good enough. Again, thank you so much for coming on, Anthony.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't thank me. Thank you.
We're going to have you back on again because you really have a lot to shed light on.
It's no such thing as I and team. We have a lot to share, not me. We.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, you had a platform we can share this on. Good. So I'm thankful. I'm honored. And you got my number. So off the air, once you call me. Just when you get a minute, just y'all call me. Thank you.
I definitely will.
Bye.
I want to thank you both for being on again. Salam alaikum.
Ramadan Mubarak. Again, Ramadan Mubarak.
We'll talk.
Ramadan. Thank you.
That is that's right. The Ramadan is still going on, isn't it?
Yes, Ramadan. This is our 20th day of Ramadan. We have 10 more days of Ramadan to go. So that's what we're doing. We're fasting, and we're trying to keep the light, shine the light like what you're doing. You're shining the real light, but shining the light on anything that's going wrong that's supposed to be talked about. That's what we talked about. That's what we're doing right now.
I'll tell you what. I was in Ghana. I was in Ghana back in 1995 and 96, Ghana, West Africa, and I used to, right across the way where I lived, where I was staying, was a mosque. And I used to love to hear the chanting in the morning.
Yeah, it's going on. Well, guess what? I just got back from Ghana 2 weeks ago. I was there for 2.5 weeks. And they just built a brand new mosque. They just built a brand new one. It took them 9 years to build, but it is so huge. It's beyond huge. The mosque is so huge, it would blow your mind. But I just got back from Accra.
He ended up coming to the United States to get some kind of honorary degree or something. Well, there was a strike going on in the prisons in Ghana. But I still keep in touch with some of the brothers out there. But Ghana was one of the safest countries and one of the English speaking countries, and it was beautiful. It was really people there. Like I say, a lot of times people in the country are taught that other countries are violent. But I've traveled 11 third world countries, and I'll tell you right now, they treat you with hospitality. They treat you really good.
Yes.
It's their culture.
Their culture. Everything they say is yes, please. Madasi, meaning thank you. Madasi, pow. Thank you very, very much. And they're very appreciative. If you give them a $1 CD over there, it's like you done gave them $100 because it's their culture to be appreciative. But you remember, this country here, you can't get white folks out of there. You can't get them Arabs out of there. You can't get the Chinese out there now. And some of them other nationalities out there now. But they give you the impression that Africa is backwards. Ghana is backwards. Everywhere we go, there's some tree huts there. You know, Tarzan is still swinging on a pole and all this kind of stuff. And monkeys.
One of the things I'm going to say when... In the very beginning, when the Bible was first initiated, when the world was first created, it was one continent. Africa and the Middle East were all one continent until the flood. But that's where it all started. You know, the Jewish people are in Ethiopia. You know, the real Jewish people are in Ethiopia. So all of this began, and you know what? Everybody, especially, I want the whites to hear it. Because this is where the DNA all came from, and this is where the DNA is. In Africa, everybody was created with the DNA right from the continent of Africa. People look at the color. They don't look at the pigmentation. It's not our color. It's our pigmentation. You look at an Italian person from Sicily in Italy. They're just as brown or black as we are, but yet they don't look at the Italians as being a black culture or a person of color.
Yeah,
Sicilia.
Well, I'm going to drop what you just dropped, but I'm going to drop it a little bit different, how you're liking it, if I'm wrong. Two black people together can be jet black, or what we refer to as blue black, can make everything to albino. Two white people can never make number white. I don't care how you dress it up, period. You put the white man under the sun long enough, he turns yellow. You put the yellow man under the sun long enough, he turns red. You put the red man under the sun long enough, he turns brown. You put the brown man under the sun long enough, he turns black. If you put the black man under the sun, he won't turn none because he's original. We're the only people who got straight eyebrows and kinky hair. No other people on the planet. I don't care where you go, you say, that's how you know we're the people of the planet and we're the original people because we got melanin in our skin. They don't have that. We can dress it up. You can say you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. It's a fact. Two white people can't make nothing but whites. Nothing else. So we had to be the original people here. It's a no-brainer. I mean, even if you can be slow, you can just about be retarded and figure that much out.
When you think about Samson, when it talked about Samson, if you realize his hair was bushy. It was strength. He had a hair of strength. Now, how many people do you see with that kind of hair in the world today?
But we know it wasn't no weave in his head. I'll tell you that.
Really?
But when you got the tail live vision, not a TV, a tail live vision, you can make anything look the way you want it to look. And anytime they want something to look backwards, all they got to do is put it out there because they know you ain't been over there in Ghana before. You ain't been no parts of Africa before. They don't know. Africa is 3 times bigger than America, 3.5, just about 4 times bigger than America. But if you listen to them and look it on the map, it's about the same size. These people, something, we can dress up here and stuff we want to, and we can keep on talking about not hurting nobody's feelings. This ain't about nobody's feelings. These are actual facts. These are actual facts.
You know, we've run out of time, but I was going to say real quickly, there's a brother, his name is Sassine Zazukli. He's from Benin. He's in the United States, but he's right now, he's trying to work in with the government in Africa to bring in the solar paneling for all of the countries there. So these countries that were once third world, they say no more third world countries. They're now progressing, even in Guyana, South America, and places like that. They're really building up. So this is the country. We're the ones that are going to be a third world country pretty soon, the way things are going. But I want to thank you again, Mika, and we'll be talking and getting something set up definitely sometime, hopefully within the next week or two. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Ms. Thank you for shining. So thank you for shining as much light. You shined a lot of light. This is a real shining light. This is the shining light.
We're going to be talking. We'll be talking. Yes. If I don't get to you today, I'll definitely get to you within the next day.
Just take your time. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace to you, and Ramadan Mubarak. Blessed Ramadan, brothers and sisters around the world.
Amen. Okay.